From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his eighth message in a series expounding the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The title of this message is Sins Laid on Jesus. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Walk in the Light. The text is John chapter 12, verse 46, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This world is dark as midnight. Jesus has come that by faith we may have light and may no longer sit in the gloom which covers all the rest of mankind. Whosoever is a very wide term. It means you and me. If we trust in Jesus, we shall no more sit in the dark shadow of death, but shall enter into the warm light of a day which shall never end. Why do we not come out into the light at once? A cloud may sometimes hover over us, but we shall not abide in darkness if we believe in Jesus. He has come to give us broad daylight. Shall he come in vain? If we have faith, we have the privilege of sunlight. Let us enjoy it. From the night of natural depravity, of ignorance, of doubts, of despair, of sin, of dread, Jesus has come to set us free. And all believers shall know that he no more comes in vain than that the sun rises and fails to scatter his heat and light. Shake off thy depression, dear brother. Abide not in the dark, but abide in the light. In Jesus is thy hope, thy joy, thy heaven. Look to him only, and thou shalt rejoice as the birds rejoice at sunrise, and as the angels rejoice before the throne.
Let's go.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he returns to verse 6, especially the final phrase of the verse, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will make 7 statements about the text. First, it emphasizes a divine action. In every aspect of the work of redemption, it is God who takes the initiative. It is at Calvary that we see the greatest action of God. Then it is an exhaustive action. Both the guilt and the punishment of our sins were laid completely upon Christ as he hung on the cross. Now to introduce a message entitled, Sins Laid on Jesus. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Isaiah 53 verse 6 reads, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Today I want us to pay particular attention to the last statement in the verse. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The statement of this text of Scripture is staggering in its immensity. It's one of those very familiar gospel texts that are all too often taken for granted, and whose amazing truth is therefore to a large extent overlooked. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I considered with you the entire sixth verse of this 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But I have felt that this statement at the end of the verse is so vast that it deserves more than the third of a preacher's outline on a given Sunday. I think that the statement here is so great that it demands that we give it a lot closer attention than we have been able to do in the former message. Now, the theme, the subject, is sublimely simple. Sins laid on Jesus. It's very easily spoken. As I say, it is so familiar that we tend simply to imagine that we understand it and miss the meaning and miss the message. But it is a statement that's worthy of the closest consideration. It's a statement that, understood properly, will bring the light of the gospel to the most darkened sinner. It's a statement that, understood properly, will bring joy to the heart of every Christian. Whatever your need, there is a message from God for you in this particular verse of Scripture. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we think then of sins laid on Jesus, I want us to look at this divine action. There are seven things that we can say about this action of God in laying sins on Jesus. And I want very quickly to make those seven statements this morning. First of all, let me emphasize what I've already indicated, that it is a divine action. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is reiterated later in the chapter in the 10th verse. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. This then is a divine action. The hand that here is dealing with Christ is the hand of God. You may remember that I pointed this out at the end of verse 5. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In the inmost recesses of Calvary, when men have done their worst and stepped aside, when devils have done their worst and stepped aside, you have God taking over, and you have the action of the Father's hand. Chastisement is that which is meted out by a father's hand. Verse 5 then, it is the hand of God that was laying the stripes on Christ. Verse 6, it is the hand of God that is laying our sins on Christ. Verse 10, it is the hand of God that is bruising and putting Christ to grief. This is a divine action. Now that is worthy of notice for many reasons. First and foremost, it's worthy of notice that we should understand that the salvation of the soul can only be accomplished by divine action. Dealing with sin is not something that can be accomplished by man. It is not something that can be accomplished by sacrament. It is not something that can be accomplished by ceremony. If sin is to be dealt with, it must be dealt with by the hand of God. We also must notice that the entire initiative in dealing with sin is a divine initiative. If you go back to the beginning of Scripture, you will find when Adam ran away from God, The first question in Scripture is God's question searching after Adam. Where art thou? You will find further, the first reference to salvation in Scripture is not man seeking for salvation, but it is God promising salvation. The next reference to salvation in Scripture is God providing that salvation in the form of a type when He clothed our first parents with skins, covering their nakedness in the Garden of Eden. You will find that the initiative for dealing with sin must always be a divine initiative. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. We should, of course, understand that while there is specific reference to the Father dealing with the Son, there is, in this text, a reference to the entire Holy Trinity. We must never think of God the Father imposing an unwelcome burden upon God the Son. We must never think of God the Son seeking by His merit and work to force something from His Father, something of mercy, which He was reluctant to give. Rather, what you have here is the perfectly united action of the triune God. And you'll notice that this united action brings us to Calvary. You see, this is the great central action of God in all Scripture. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. You have the story of creation. In all the chapters that follow, you have the continuing story of God's sustenance of His creation, God's maintenance of His creation, His providential care. Those are mighty actions. If you read the songs of Israel in the Old Testament, you will find how in song the people of God celebrated the mighty creative and providential power of God. But always the pinnacle of the praise of God's people was His redemptive work. The most terrible action, and I use the word terrible there in its scriptural sense, in the Old Testament connotation, the most terrible action of God, that which awes the heart of man more than any other, was not His speaking all things into being. It was the night that He came down in Egypt and He delivered His people by a mighty redemptive act. And through the Old Testament scriptures, you will find that the word terrible, the terrible action of God, is constantly referred to that mighty act of redemptive work and grace. You see, if you would stand in awe of God, if you would understand something of the overwhelming majesty of God, if you would come under the mighty power of the fear of God, you stand not just at the door of creation, not just at the mount of the giving of the law, but most of all you stand in the shadow of Calvary. There you have the great central action of God, the greatest display of God's personal majesty, the greatest exhibition of God's personal glory, power and grace ever given to any creature. There you have the focal point, indeed, of all His revelation. This is a divine action. So great is this divine action, you'll find that it is, or was, the subject of the plan of God. Calvary was predetermined, Acts 2 and 32. It was a predetermined action. From all eternity, this action of God in laying our sins on Christ was at the very heart of the plan of God. Then in recorded time, we find that this action of God in laying our sins on Christ is the very perfection of the purpose of God. All God's purposes, like so many spokes of a wheel, come to meet at the hub of God's redemptive purpose in Christ. And then in eternity to come, so great is this divine action of laying our sins on Christ that it will be the cause of the praise of God. We were singing this morning from Revelation chapter 1 in our opening paraphrase. Revelation chapter 1 gives you the song of the church on earth unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. Then in Revelation chapter 5 you have the song of the church in heaven. And they are singing, Thou art worthy, for Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. The cause of praise to God throughout all eternity. Not only from redeemed saints, but if you read on in Revelation 5, even from the very angels of glory will be that action of God at Calvary in laying our sins on Jesus. It was a divine action. Can I say that it was an exhaustive action? He laid our sins on Christ. Now we've got to understand what that means. First of all, I think I should make it clear. I don't suppose that too many people will tend to make this mistake, but I can't afford to take the risk. When it says he laid our sins on Christ, it does not mean that he transferred the moral pollution of our sin to Christ. That's got to be understood. Christ did not personally become a sinner by the transfer that is here described. Whatever the nature of this work, it did not at all take away from the moral excellence and the absolute sinless perfection of the God-man, Jesus Christ. There was no transfer of moral pollution to Christ. But what it does mean is this, that the personal humiliation of sin was felt by Christ. In other words, he felt the awful shame. I want you just for a moment to think of that. When he took the cup and drank it, he says, the cup that my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? Into that cup went all the guilt and all the sin and all the shame of all his people from all ages. You think of the people whom he has saved. You think of the drunkards Christ has saved. The shame of their drunkenness was felt by him. You think of the filthy, lecherous, immoral rascals whom he has lifted from the dunghill and set among princes. The awful shame of their degradation was felt by Christ. What a depth of his humiliation when the holy, spotless, sinless Son of God took upon himself the shame of our sin. It means something more. It means that the legal liability for sin was laid on Christ. In other words, you have the imputation of our guilt to Christ. Then it means even further that the penal suffering for sin was laid on Christ, that the visitation of the punishment of sin was actually placed upon Christ. The Lord hath laid on him, letting him personally bear the shame, letting him personally bear the guilt, and letting him personally bear the punishment for all the sins of all his church of all ages. It was an exhaustive action.
You You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.